25. Oh, we're recording.
Yeah, we are.
Did you look at that? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Ring Giants podcast number 225. I am the host that loves you most. My name is Farhad, and I'm joined here by my friend Dave. He's come back from a long vacation from Italy, which we will discuss a little later. Dave. Oh,
yes, we will.
It's been a while since we've hooked up together. What's up, buddy?
It's been a while since I've been on the pod, at least. The YouTube, I'm back at it. Of course, if you only do listen to us here on the podcasting platform, that's not it. Basically, just go anywhere, any social media. YouTube is big, Instagram is big, Twitter, X, what have you. I mean, hit us up everywhere, but you will find me most prominently with Dash on the YouTube. It's fun to be back. The stars aligned for us to do this, which typically isn't the case. But yeah, here we are.
I love it. Yeah, there's a bunch of free time here. And my dream is to record more, give you guys more episodes. Ways to listen to us, obviously, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Spotify is actually our main thing now. We talked about it with Dash. We had a big meeting with Dash. And you'll see a video of this on Spotify, which I think is super cool. When Joe Rogan did it, I'm like, damn, I'm so jealous that you get to see him. And not that I listen to him anymore, but it just became a little the same every time. But he opened up an avenue for us on Spotify for you guys to see our beautiful faces. Please check out TurinGiants.com. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming up. If you go to Turin Giants, at Turin Giants on Instagram, there's the latest post on the stories, which is our friend Juve Gents. He did a little illustration of McKinney dressed in a Harry Potter robe, and he's pointing at the ball. And my daughter knew all of that. I showed her; she was really excited. And actually, once we release the shirts, I'll get her one as well. So that's the design we're thinking about. So please go check it out. I know we have a lot of people who message me on Instagram. Check it out, see what you think. I feel like it's the whole Harry Potter thing and Weston McKinney. Pretty cool idea. So I think you guys are gonna like it.
There's another nerd reference trending right now too. I didn't pick up on it because I am not a Dragon Ball Z fan, but our listeners did tell us the Chiesa Gatti celebration where they touched their fingers.
Vlahovic.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I mean,
don't think I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Dragon Ball Z thing, and there's a bunch of anime fans in the ranks here. So I don't know. Tell us if that's the kind of stuff you want to do. So, I guess.
So the more we record, the more engagement I get. So Instagram, like I get like 5 messages once I post something, and I try to make it nice and personal. And people are definitely responding. So let us know. I've been trying to do Juve / anime crossover for years. I talked to Dan Colosimo about it. Definitely, it's coming. It's coming. I'm looking for people who can draw anime because it's a moneymaker, man.
Dash, because he's a big nerd about it, will just go on the streams. And like, I'll just sit there not knowing what's going on anymore because him and the chat just go off on anime and I'm completely lost. I just go full boomer on it. I have no recollection. It's a mess, but they love it. So
anime and comic books for me, it's like, nah, it's too late to join. I don't know. I watched Cowboy Bebop. I know it's like the quintessential show. I loved it. The music, the plot, it's really good. But I don't think I'm going to go beyond that, to be honest with you. Yeah, but it's definitely something. I mean, Dybala in an anime style. I know people are not really crazy about Dybala anymore, but you know, he's just made to be made into an anime character. So I think we will do that.
I mean, I can see Gatti as an anime character just because he's a little bit goofier. You know, I think that could work. But there's soccer anime.
Oh, that's right.
Blue Lock is the one Dash always talks about. So it exists. It's out there.
You know, we're going to get replies about that.
Great.
something I wanted to bring up. I forgot. Yeah, totally. Let's do a mug check. No, I love my mugs.
Oh, mug. I don't have a mug ready. What could I say? But that's Adele.
Adele in Vegas. Best $1,500 ever spent.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I don't go to many concerts, but when I do, I drop a dime. It was a lottery thing. They opened up tickets. And if you knew how big of fans we are with my wife, and it's like our singer, like it was worth it.
The concert, like your first kiss or something, or
go deeper. I mean, just when we met, the you know, her second album came out and it was Game Over. Like, it was playing at our house all the time, and my wife was she cried several hundred times during the concert, so it was worth it. It was I may have shed a tear during during a couple of songs, but yeah, it was so awesome. And the mug is pretty nice too. I had to get myself a quick $20 mug.
Yeah, the merch
was like ridiculous.
Nice, of course, but a nice mug goes a long way. It's something practical that you can use. But I mean, it sits there on your desk, looks good.
Yeah. The coffee stays in the mug. Well, let's hear about your adventures, man. You know, Italy is a beautiful place to visit. You got roots down there. I know you visited a couple of places that you come from and your family comes from. So tell us.
Yeah, I mean, I can go on and on about all the different things that we did. I'll highlight a couple things because they are relevant. The first one being, so we had to change our plans last minute. We had to delay, shortened the trip to about 2 weeks. But as a result, we ended up in Florence instead of Rome, where we were originally going to fly into. And then I was there just because of all the change of plans. I didn't really think about until I was there on the ground. I'm like, Empoli's a half-hour train ride the other direction, and they're playing tomorrow. So I immediately just like started scouring the internet. I was trying to contact Maurizio from around Turin. I was contacting Kevin because I know that they're season ticket holders. Nothing. Finally, my buddy tells me to use this. It's not the safest website. Doesn't look safe, but I spent the money anyways. Via GoGo, yeah. I guess it's legit enough.
I've had people message me for years. Hey, can you do anything? I got scammed. So you're playing with fire right there, brother.
I guess I was, because it cost me $400 Canadian to get these tickets to Empoli. Like, this stadium is trash. It's absolute trash.
You sent us photos and there's just patches of sand and man. Yes.
And it was bad. So they had one entrance for our ultras who were banging that night. It was absolutely great. And then there was another entrance for the rest of the Juve fans. And you just got locked in to this one corner of the stadium. And there was like no concourse. You couldn't go in and out. You were just, there you are. You're stuck there and you're not leaving until the game's over, essentially. So it was a little prison-esque in a sense. But no matter. I mean, I was fairly close to the ultras to hear them, to feel them, to watch.
Did you scope out the exits?
Like, what do you mean scope them out? For what?
Did you know where the safe exits are?
There was only one. That's what I'm saying. Like, there was only one way in or out.
I'm pretty sure that's a fire hazard. I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah. No, absolutely.
It's a death trap.
So, yeah, I mean, I got to see the game in all its glory.
Were you close to the pitch?
I was at the back and I was still close. That's how small the place is. So
how many like people? It must be like 25, 30,000.
I think it was not 18, even if I recall, if I remember. Man, yeah, it's not big, but I got to see that. Awesome. So that was
to be fair, their ultras were loud the whole game.
In person, it wasn't as loud, actually. Ours like completely puts them to shame. Yeah. They didn't have that big of a contingent. Was loud. Yeah, give credit to a small team showing up and, you know, their fans getting loud, but there was just more of us. The way it was.
You literally met people who listened to us too, which is like the coolest thing to me.
Yeah, just at the train station, because we basically had to book it. We didn't get to stay. You know how the team always goes to the Curva, does their salute to them. I had to leave for all of that because we were missing the train. Like, that was the last train until 5 a.m. in the morning. So we just booked it. We ran out there and, you know, kind of huffing and puffing a bit. get there like 2 minutes to spare, and I hear this American talking. Okay, an American in Empoli, like, obviously he's there to watch the game. So I just asked him, and sure enough, so I did the name drop. I said, hey, you know, check out Turin Giants. And he's like, you know what, I got you on X. I've been following you guys for years. So
dude, he's been on a podcast. Shout out to Weston.
No, Weston, it wasn't Weston. No, I heard you say that it was Weston. It's not Weston. It was just, I can't remember the name.
He confirmed. Well, I mean, you're not lying. You could be, he made,
no, there was this other, it was this other random dude. Oh, and his girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, Weston and his girlfriend. He no, was at the game.
I know who was. No, this guy didn't have the hair. This wasn't Weston.
Okay. Well, then can't confuse Weston's hair.
No, I would have known Weston. I would have. It would have been different.
That's awesome, man. Did you guys do anything other than you know, football related activities?
We ate, obviously. We saw the sights. Went to the ocean. You know. You know, you're in Florence. You get to see all those cool buildings, the cool artwork. Got to see some Caravaggio, which is one of my favorite painters because he's dark as shit. He's a very cool character. Yeah. A lot of like blood and dark and light as well. Cool painter. So if you're an art nerd,
if you're in Turin, like when I went, it's like an hour and a half, 2 hour train ride to Florence. You have to see the original. I don't know if it's an original, but you know, David and just beautiful town square. It's just so gorgeous.
It's super busy, but it is beautiful. Yeah, there's so much going on.
Did you run into the pickpocket lady?
No, I did not. I had no problems, honestly, the whole time I was there. I mean, it was good. I think I looked less touristy. I suppose I look more like I belong there than maybe some other people.
Well, to me, you're a tourist if you're holding a selfie stick. That's it.
No selfie stick. No selfie stick at all.
It's terrible. You can't walk around that place.
Even my wife wore these cute like sundresses that look like she can be just another old Italian lady. And it's like, yeah, we're good. We're good to go. I had my Pumas and just that's it. I didn't have Nikes. I didn't have American shoes. I had European shoes. I think that's all you need to like get past the tourist trap.
Pumas, Europeans and Middle Easterners keeping Puma alive, man. You don't see Puma anywhere here in America, but especially the old Ferrari Pumas are a staple in any Arabic household.
I almost bought them last time. They had them on sale. There's a Puma outlet store not too far from me, and I like to stop in once in a while, get my discounts.
You were talking about doing stuff with around Turin.
Yes. Anything so that's a huge there? Thing. So around Turin, a lot of you guys may already know him. He's all over social media. He's heavily involved with the team in terms of getting out there, setting things up for the traveling fans in particular. So his travel agency started just for the Juve game experience.
Maurizio. People, everyone knows Maurizio.
Yeah.
You forgot to say his name.
Did I not say Maurizio? Maurizio.
No.
Okay, Maurizio from around Turin. So he's gone beyond just doing the game day experience. So unfortunately, I booked this ahead of time. Schedule wasn't out right in the middle of international break. I wasn't going to, like that Empoli game is the last game and I was lucky to have seen that. So wasn't going to do the Juve experience. Mm-hmm. But he recently expanded his business to just doing tourism in the Piedmont area, which Piedmont is the province where Turin is located. So I asked him, I was like, okay, I'm with my parents, you know, they're a little bit older. We can't do like hiking in the mountains, for instance. Mm-hmm. Give us a nice experience. We're only there for a couple days, so I want one day just to be like a banger. And one of his employees, Deborah, pulled out all the stops. Essentially, nice. We had a private like Mercedes SUV with the driver. We had a private tour guide. They took us into basically the wine and hazelnut region. We saw a hazelnut, like an organic hazelnut factory, got all the taste tests. We went into all the wine towns, all the vineyards. We stopped at one vineyard, had a private chef with the actual vineyard owner there serving us wine, and just had the complete spread. And just the most amazing backdrop and no worries. You didn't have to think about a thing. You had the tour guide bringing you everywhere. You had your driver bringing you everywhere. And it was just absolutely perfect. So anybody that's going to Turin that just needs any sort of tour guide, tour services, go to Around Turin, because that was top notch. And
we're literally, Maurizio literally doesn't know we're doing this. So it's not like this is a paid thing or he told us to say.
I'm that impressed. It's
a customer giving up a positive feedback.
Yeah. Like, this is no BS. This is like from my heart.
Like, love it.
Go talk to Maurizio or one of his employees, Deborah in my case. Fantastic job. So thank you very much. And hopefully you guys check him out as well. If not, just follow him on Twitter, X, whatever you guys call it these days.
Yeah, he's been traveling the last couple of weeks. I know he had a bad case of FOMO when the Lazio game was on. He's like, guys, I'm unable to visit the game, but I'm in China.
Yeah, he was awesome. Busy while I was there as well, unfortunately. But
yeah, I mean, speaking of Juve, this season's so far so good, man. We're cooking. It's good. I can't wait for a good old two horse race against Inter, because from what we're seeing, the teams are kind of lackluster and they're firing all cylinders. I was really bummed about the game yesterday that they tied, but it's gonna be a fun season. The atmosphere, and I read Romeo Agresti saying that this is not even the full potential what we had in the Conte era. If we can bring that back, the team can do wonderful things. And what we had against Lazio, he said that we would not have performed like that if it wasn't for the atmosphere.
I think that had a lot to do with it, because what they're trying to contrast against was the Bologna match, and that was our worst match. So, I wholeheartedly believe what the ultras are doing. And it's not just them. They get everyone else. They get the whole stadium going. And feeling,
because nobody wants to chant just sitting down on one of the lateral sides. If those guys are loud, you kind of feel a little,
it spills over and everyone gets into it.
Freer to do that, and you jump, and whoever doesn't jump is an Interista, is one of my favorites. that should be joining us in a couple of minutes too, right?
He said he'll jump.
So, I mean, we're just taking advantage of everyone being free. It's kind of fun to come back to recording. I know last season was challenging, and you know, our listeners were super understanding that we'll be back, and I feel like this season for our podcast, for the YouTube channel, and you guys do an awesome job. I just went through, you know, we use the same portal, and I went through your videos, and I mean, these guys, Dave and Dash and the B crew, I mean, they record 2-3 hour videos and for your entertainment, and I really hope you guys enjoy it. There's going to be more stuff coming out as far as shirts I talked about on the last podcast. By the way, thank you for coming back, all of you guys who listen, because we're still working out the kinks. The audio was a little choppy, but I hope this one's a little better. Dash, you know, we had an emergency meeting with him, trying to figure out all the problems that went on, took care of everything. So it's always doing stuff for your enjoyment, because who wants to listen to, especially to 2023, in a podcast with bad audio? I mean, if I hear bad audio, no matter what the interesting topic, I don't really listen to it. So thank you guys for sticking with us. And
I think it's starting to sound better. It's when you take that next leap, just so maybe the listeners don't understand, it's exponentially harder, and you need just more gear and more wires and more interfaces. And as you get more people together over the internet to do it, it's a bit of a process, and it needs a bit of teasing out. So again,
it's amazing though. It's amazing. When we started this podcast, by the way, season 10, I don't think I mentioned that enough.
Yeah. You got it. Season 10, guys.
Season 10, baby. Where's my Alessandro Bel Piero? Dash said, bring him up closer to the mic. Season 10 of the formerly known as Juve podcast. Many of you guys are new. In 2013, we started recording, and I think the game against Chelsea, and I just saw videos of, you know, Quagliarella goal and Vidal equalizing the away game in Chelsea. We were so hungry for Champions League football. It was awesome. That tie, the 2-2 tie, and then eventually kicking Chelsea out of the group. And I mean, they did win a Europa League afterwards. It was a good time. So 10 years of doing this, you guys, you would think me, and I always say that I'm like the weakest link of the podcast. I'm the guy who gets people together and, you know, creates the podcast, but you guys are the real stars, the people who are on the podcast. You would think I'd get so much hate, but people have been so kind over the last 10 years. And I really do appreciate it. Especially get at me if you've been listening since day one. I know like Reddit was the, were our first people back when Reddit, Juve Reddit had like 1500, not even 1500 people, but it was, you could count on your fingers. Now it's like a 10,000 people community and Reddit peeps are really cool as always.
Yeah, I'm not even one of the original listeners because I didn't even know what a podcast was at that point. Like you guys started early.
Yeah, man. I heard, you know, one of our buddies, he did an interview for people for these guys in Real on a Real Madrid podcast. And I'm like, fucking podcast. There's no Juve podcast. And you know, we named it Juve Podcast. We recorded with Saeed. He now runs the Southern California fan club. And a couple of other people, Matt Coco, he'll be back. I freaking love Matt. I texted him. He was like, "Damn, I'm unavailable." But we literally recorded in Saeed's bedroom, you know, hunched over a microphone. But now we're, you know, we're global, so it's really cool to hear. I get messages from Africa. I got messages from this kid on a Gaza Strip. I still keep his little screenshot. He said, you know, there's not much to be happy about, but you guys, you know, get me through the day. So I really appreciate it. And I've actually asked him to get back to me, but he hasn't. So if you're listening, I even forgot his name, but I still keep your messages. And, you know, I keep that message close to my heart. I really appreciate it. Shall we read a couple of Juve news here? I am on footitalia.com. That's our buddy Rav, who runs the website. It's a fantastic website. I always try to shout it out. Kind of a reference, really, really well-made website. And so there's news here about Allegri. He's saying, we have to keep our feet on the ground. Our goal is to finish in the top four. What do you think about that? He's being Allegri, right?
Yeah, it's the most classic Allegri line. He's just like, simmer down. Our goal this year is top four. Yes, we're in second currently. We're in good form. Completely turned a leaf considering what happened last year. But I mean, it's early. We've only played four games. That's all he's saying.
Well, I'm not known for my excitement levels. I always go, it's gonna be awesome. It's either I try to, but when the team is doing well, I just can't help it. I'm just so excited about it. Vlahovic, hopefully this is the year. Hopefully this is.
I'm enjoying it. I was a naysayer. I'll admit it. It's looking good.
Oh really? You're one of the people. Oh, that's right. You were one of the
for his price tag. I was happy to move him on if we got that 70, 80 million because of how he performed for his price tag. I never said screw this guy, you suck, I hate you, get off my team. I always did want him to perform better, and now that he is, I'm ecstatic. And I take back, if he continues what he does anyways, I take back what I said last season.
Well, speaking of naysayers, here he is.
I told you I'd give you a cameo appearance. It's gonna piss a lot of people off, but he's got to, for me to sit there and, you know, eat my words, got to hit 20 this season. If he doesn't hit 20 goals, it's shambolic.
I'm reading the news and Mitrovic, he's saying that he's Vlahovic will score 25 goals.
25.
This is Dash, by the way.
Who's
Dash?
Dash
and Dave. Dash and Dave. They are the YouTube
gurus. What's a Dash?
What's up, buddy? How you been? Spoke with you like yesterday.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's 2 a.m, 3 a.m. No, I'm just kidding. Totally messing with you guys. But no, yeah, same old. I just got a day older, maybe a gray hair or two more.
You know, how's my sound? I did everything you told me.
I mean, dude, you look like you're in 4K. Like, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, I mean, this is a 4K camera.
I know. You're not having the light shine into it.
Oh, check this out. Dash is like, you have you look terrible because you have a light behind you, and apparently I don't know much about recording. And
yeah, like listeners, it was hilarious because like him and I were like, I was like kind of giving him the ins and outs of some technical stuff for Spotify, and I'm like looking at him for a minute, I'm like, why the hell do you look so blurry? And then I was like, and then he turns off the light for a minute because his kid was talking to him for a minute. And I'm like, whatever you're doing, just do that. Do never turn that light on again. And he's like, what, really? I'm like, dude,
hey, it's don't mock me. Day. Hey, I'm admitting it. You don't have to mock my voice. What are you, my wife? No,
you know
how that, like these reels, there's a reel that went, why does every wife have a voice for her husband? And then she goes, it's like, yeah, it's universal. So Dash, you don't have to mock me. I have enough people mocking me. You know, what's funny? We were ready for a call, and Dash is sitting kind of in the waiting room of the service that we use. And my daughter comes up to me. She's like, his name is Dash. I'm like, Zara, he can hear you.
Oh man, I get it. Speaking of that, I'll give you a quick little funny story, and I think the listeners could get a laugh out of this. So when I was in elementary school, so obviously my full name's Dash Amir, Albanian for the people that don't know. So like, I didn't have the nickname Amir. Yeah, Dash Amir. Like my full name is Dash Amir.
You know my kid's name is Amir, right?
Nope. It'd be kind of weird if I knew. Like if I knew ahead of time.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I dropped his name. I mean, your namesake of my boy. Hold on. I'm getting a phone call from. Hold on. One sec. You guys talk.
Okay. But like, kind of going into it. So like, obviously, I'm older than what the Incredibles movie was. So like, the Incredibles movie came out in like 2003, and you know, people would just call me by my full name, and then the Incredibles come out, and then everyone's like, "Well, shit. Why don't we just call him Dash?" Like that's just a thing. So you know, I adopted the nickname Dash, and then I had a substitute teacher once. It was like Dash Faza, and I'm like, it's yeah. What the hell kind of name is Dash? Who the hell names their kid Dash? And I'm like, well, apparently my parents. I mean, what else do you want me to do? But
back when teachers can be like, what the hell kind of name is that?
Yeah, what the hell kind of name is that? I think though, my favorite is when I'm getting food, right? Because like, you know how everything is automated now with like you go to McDonald's, you go to Taco Bell, it's all self-serve. Like all the fast food nowadays has evolved into like self-service. There isn't really a person, like a cashier anymore, unless it's like early in the morning for the old folk. So like, I'll go in and I'll order something. Like I'll go on the kiosk, you know, get my Big Mac and my McChicken nuggets and some fries. Like, you know, I'll get the works. And then they'll come out and they'll say, hi, I got an order for a DoorDash. I'm like,
you get confused with DoorDash. Yeah,
I'm like, do you mean Dash? Well, it just says Dash on here, so I'm assuming it's no, that's my name. That's really annoying. You must get that a lot. I'm like, more than you know. Like my favorite.
Start using a different name, like Steve.
Yeah, let me just go in there. I'll change it to Gustavo. Like, hey, or like just Gustavolopoulos, just like something ridiculous. But
dude, when I used to take Lyft/Uber a lot, because I lived in a city nearby, near my house, so I would just take a quick ride. And Farhad was after a 13-hour shift. Just dead tired, Chicago winter. I'm all bundled up in a hoodie and I'm just ready to go home. And here comes your Middle Eastern grandpa who's super interested in my name. So it was just, I was like, I can't handle it anymore. I'm talking for 20 minutes on the ride about his whole background, his whole family, wherever he's from. So I just changed it to like the most innocuous, like Sam is my name now. And I told Sam Adamo. Shout out to Sam Adamo, by the way. I just changed it to Sam because it can be anyone in the world can be Sam. So I'm just like, I can't. It's like that meme. Me, .. Uber driver, .. Me, 5 stars. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that because it's like the same thing with Albanians, right? So like for me, I'm kind of lucky because I don't fit the stereotypical Albanian mold because, you know, light brown hair / dirty blonde. I have blue eyes and Albanians are olive skin.
You're super tall.
Yeah, and then it's like traditional, like Albanians are like Mediterranean, right? It's kind of ironic because like Albania is like the Lebanon of like the Mediterranean, or like the of the Balkans per se. So it's like the countries are almost like similar size, similar amount of population and stuff. So it's like Albanians have like, you know, olive brown skin, brown eyes, black hair. So it's like for me, it's like when I'm in there, and my favorite is when I'm at like Albanian charity events, because like they'll say in Albanian, I'm like, who the fuck invited this white guy? Like, who's this white guy here? And then I turn around in Albanian, I'm like, yeah, where's this white guy you're talking about? And like, you know, they look like
I
they've just
love it.
seen ghosts. But yeah, because like the thing
Dude,
is it's just like you say, man. Like the second people find out my, especially like Albanians that find out my name, especially the ones like, I hate saying boaters, but the ones that are fresh from the old country, like they'll sit there and be like, oh my God. And like, you know, they give you their full life story, and you know, they do the traditional like tap on the arm just to make sure that you're listening to them. And I'm just kind of
Oh
like this,
my
like,
God.
and like, hey, like, and like the worst is like at my family's restaurant, like, because we hire a couple of Albanians that just come in from the country, and I'm like in the middle of cutting or prepping something, and the dude's coming in and just tapping my arm as I'm cutting, and I'm giving him like this bombastic side eye, like, bro, I'm listening, stop tapping my arm.
There's something about fresh immigrants and personal space. That it should be in the, you know, the immigration workbook that they study to pass the test. It's like, dudes, it's 2 feet. Please give me some space. I don't
Whatever you
need
think,
to. I don't need to.
is
I
right.
don't need to smell what you had for breakfast, dude.
Yeah,
Whatever you
it's
think is right,
that.
add an extra foot or two,
Well,
and then you're okay.
it's the funny thing is, guys, it's because like, for example, they talk so much that like their throat gets dry. So you it's like I call it old man breath. So
Yeah.
like they're
Oh,
just like
talking
dousing
cigarettes.
you in it. They're dousing you in it, and you're just kind of like,
Oh,
and you're
Lord.
trying, and you're, and the thing is
That's
like,
what she
again, like,
said.
you know,
That's what she said. That's
I
what
was
she
like
said.
being
That's what she
I was
said.
you have it on loop,
Sorry.
you got to turn off the loop.
Yes, I do. I sure do.
But it's like the thing is like, because you know, Farad, you can like agree with me on this one, like we can't disrespect anyone that's older. That's like how our cultures are, right?
Sure.
Like we
For
have to
sure.
sit there and listen to them. Like we can't sit there and tell the guy to F off, because like, you know, in the old country, that's fighting words. Like, you know, you square up if you like look at an older guy funnier
They
or
get
an
pissy,
elder.
you know. Older men really get upset, and they just, you know, you're enemy for life.
Yep, and then they tell your parents, and then you get home and your parents beat the hell out of you, and they say, oh, shame the family name and everything, and you're like, I don't even know this dude, he just showed up. But like, yeah, it's one of those things, especially like growing up as an immigrant too. I think that's always one of the ironies of it, is just like it's, and I don't know, maybe you can agree with me on this one, but it's just like the different customs. Like for example, I've always had yeah, nicely timed. But I always find it interesting, and I'm sure like some of the viewers too, like, because obviously Juventino, like I'm kind of curious to see if like there's like a full-blown like someone born in the US that's like, Juve, let's go. But like, you know, obviously Juve fans have come from all over the world, but always.
I think we've tapped into something here. I think
Yeah.
we're gonna get a lot of replies about old man breath and personal space. I'm
You
pretty sure
imagine
I'm
that?
gonna be that. I'm gonna be that guy. I'm gonna be that. I will be. I will lose all sense of what I've learned and just be completely in people's faces. But you know, I love gum. My breath is always fucking 10 out of 10, baby. Trident stays on me, baby.
That's why I need to marry a dentist, just so I can have that on lock.
From what I heard, dentists make the most money. Like out of
I
all
know.
doctors, if you study to be any doctor, it's anesthesiologist, but the risk of killing someone is so high. Teeth, what's the worst that can happen? You can get a cavity or something, but dentists make a shitload of money. That's why there's a lot of immigrant dentists, you know. Is there anything going on in the Uber world? Because I'm going through fooditalia.com right now, and Allegri said that we have to keep our feet on the ground. I know people like me are super excited about our pretty strong start. If it wasn't for that dumbass draw, we would be tied with Inter right now. But
You
feel
know,
I have a feeling we can do it, and because simply because we have one game a week. I mean, it's just the injuries we will, you know, we will have the advantage.
I think the main thing that we've been shown for the past couple of weeks is the maturity of a lot of the players on the squad, right? And you know, and I kind of hate sounding like an asshole, but like, how is it that ironically, the moment we packed Bonucci and told him to F off, that we've looked and played a lot better, right?
Because
So
we
like,
finally cut the dead weight.
like the thing is like, you know, respect to what he's done, but I just think that guy was probably the most cancerous dude in the locker room. Cause like, so last season when Dave and I were covering a lot of the stuff, like, we had a birdie tell us that, you know, like the Doosan and Chiesa are pissed at Allegri and, you know, the squad chemistry's in shambles and like all these locker room leaks. So the person that did it, that leaked it to the journalists, like it was Bonucci that did it. And it's like,
I can
the
see
dude's
that.
Like the dude's the captain, but like you're doing all this other crap. And for me, it's like, I always felt like he's the kind of dude that like dragged a lot of people down with him for no freaking reason. Like, you know, Bonucci to me is the epitome of the guy that shows up for the group project and still gets an A because Barzagli, Buffon and Chiellini were doing all the work, but he's just, you know, the last guy there that just does nothing but still gets an A for the project. Like, yeah, he had great moments and stuff like that, but like, I don't know, like, you know, and the thing is, and this is where I kind of got a little bit, I found it ironic, and like, shout out to, I think it's AJ or Fino Alafina on Twitter, where he's like, everyone was praising Bonucci because Union Berlin got a, it was like they were 0-0 until the 80th minute against Real Madrid in the Champions League. And then like
94th,
was that the 94th?
The goal was in the 94th minute.
Okay. Cause I know Bonucci got subbed in like the 80th or something like that. And everyone's like, look at Bonucci.
Apparently he did great. I read the comments and even the, you know, their fans were praising him.
That's interesting because I saw the numbers and he had the worst stats out of the entire team.
Maybe they have that like 14
minutes that he played.
Yeah, maybe they're just excited because he's new as well. That could be a thing.
That could be.
They'll learn. It's like Roma fans being excited about Paredes. I just wrote.
he sort of got a goal today.
He played decent. That's the thing that surprised me. Because like here's the funny thing about it, right? Like Paredes was absolute garbage with us. Like he was like that guy that if I needed to throw someone in to piss someone off and get them kicked out of the game, that was Paredes' role for us. Where it's like, Mourinho plays the most terrorist of terrorist ball out of all the coaches in the world. And then yet like Paredes is there and he's like air quotes flourishing because it's only been a couple of games. But like that to me, I just look at it and it's like, you couldn't do it for Allegri, who is like a looser terror. Like he's like the terrorist ball you get on Wish versus like the authentic terrorist ball of Mourinho. Because like the thing is like Allegri, my thing about like I've praised Allegri and I've also criticized Allegri. Like my thing with Allegri and Allegri ball is like Allegri's like I'm dabbling my foot in terrorist ball, but I haven't fully committed. It's like maybe I'll call you after the third date, where it's like Mourinho's like full head in, dived into it. So that's one of those things where I always find it ironic, right? So it's interesting to see.
Allegri just visits the ISIS website. Mourinho has the flag behind him.
Yes, that's pretty much it when it comes to that. Because like, and I got to give credit to the Roma players because they've all bought in, right? Like all of them have bought into that shithouse football in a sense. Like, I mean, obviously Mancini is like their compatriot where he does all that like bum crap or all that shenanigans. But like Lukaku bought into it. Dybala's bought into it. All of it, where it's just like everybody on that squad is bought into that like terrible branding of football. But hey, at the end of the day, someone on Twitter said it best. He's like, it doesn't matter if you're running possession based, if you're running negative based, or if you're just sitting back. Winning football is winning football, whether it's unwatchable or whatever. You get results, you get trophies. It is, you know, it is what it is, right? But Roma's just tough to watch, man.
Let's give credit where it's due. I feel Roma's no. But as far as the game, you know, that's separate. But Roma supporters put on a show. That stadium is rocking. I really do want to. I want to visit a Roma game, and my dream is to go to a Derby della Madonnina. I mean, that sounds just I never miss it. Those two games.
I'm only going to give you a disclaimer. If you go to the Olympico, never step on the grass. If you do, make sure you have insurance for your ACLs. We call that the Reaper of the ACL.
I mean, it is the stadium where you have won our last European trophy. So to me, it's a.
Yeah, but that's also
a soft spot for it. But
you see,
but
for me, it's where Chiesa lost his ACL. Demiral lost his ACL. That place. I think if you look at it statistically, I think the Olympico has had the most ACL tears. Even Zaniolo tore both of his ACLs there.
This is the kind of stuff you get from Dash on the Turin Giants podcast, boys and girls. You don't hear that anywhere else. I'm sure we'll hear about more people who lost their knees there.
Tammy Abraham.
So give me a couple of. I know Dash is a medical professional, and if you have any problems, write to him. He's a registered doctor.
He just plays one on YouTube.
Yeah, I was gonna say I just play the role, right? Because like, oh my god, could you imagine that people look at that'd be so funny? Because like, there's
you
gonna
do
be
look like a doctor.
You know, the funny thing is I wanted to be a doctor, but I was too scared of blood. I was way too soft.
I'm covered in it all the time. I love working in the hospital. I double glove and my babies are, man, I love it.
As long as you're not double fisting, right? Double glove, but not double fisting.
So tell me the couple of words for those who don't know about ACL and what goes on. I know in a previous couple of episodes ago, a couple of years ago, you mentioned something. What is going on in the knee during that injury, and why before in the 90s that was a death sentence, and so, now people recover faster and faster?
So the thing is like drugs, drugs, but horse tranquilizer. But the thing is like, and take a shot. But when it comes to your knee, an ACL injury is obviously, like, for example, when your tibia and your femur, right? When there's too much stress from a twisting or a planting motion where your inertia or your momentum carries you forward, and you're essentially your quads and your hamstrings are unable to absorb the force, right? So with a lot of athletes like Odell Beckham Jr., Zaniolo, Chiesa, DeCilio, a lot of
I like
of
how
time,
you just threw a football player in there. Like, people know who OBJ is.
I'm surprised.
We have Europeans listening and Middle Easterners.
Hey, you know, the funny thing is like one thing that Dave and I found out is like a lot of our listeners on YouTube, even though they're Europeans, are big NFL fans. It's crazy.
Hell yeah. It's fucking fun. Like, NFL is awesome.
Like we did that Monday show that like Dave and I have been experimenting a little bit, like a Monday live stream. Like there's the one that Dave did when Dave was on vacation that I did on my own. And I got to like the hour 30 mark, and like I just like kind of threw in a shout out for the Lions because they beat the Chiefs that week. And then everyone's like, bro, I'm a Colts fan, or I'm this and I'm that. And like I went
no,
on.
No,
like,
I'm the only Colts fan, Dash. Nobody.
Worry? No.
Adam,
else was on
Adam
there.
I found out today Adam Digby is a Colts fan.
Really?
Because he posted.
I don't even watch it. I picked the team because I wanted see if I can watch it. And
it's a pretty decent team to follow. It's a huge. I mean, people in Indiana love the Colts, but we're not going to turn this into a football podcast.
No, not at all. But going back to the knees. Sorry. So the thing is like, so my strength and performance coach that I work out with, he kind of gives me this thing. He's like, ACL injuries are like the old, like, for example, I have a Ferrari engine, but I have Honda Civic brakes. So it's kind of, it's like Fiat brakes. The reason why he says it is like there's a lot of players that, especially with footy players more than American football players, because to be honest with you, I'm appalled with how terrible strength and conditioning coaches are in Europe. I think the only two are solid are Real Madrid and Manchester City. But like, for example, I was watching Barcelona's strength and conditioning program. I was appalled. I showed it to my coach, and like, these guys don't get these players prepped for anything, especially with the amount of load and the increasing load. The only guys that I know that are quite well, I'll give a shout out to Antonio Conte, because his strength and conditioning staff are really fucking good. Like, I mean, as far as physical preparation, like, yeah, during training camp, you want to throw up your guts and everything, but like, His guys are in tip top form. And the reason why I say it is meniscus, MCL, PCL, ACL, a lot of them happen from non-contact injuries, because you're trying to stop at an instant and change direction. That's kind of what happened to Chiesa against Roma. He did have a little bit of external from Chris Smalling, but I still think it was more so from, and you can watch the videos of it, how it happens, but you can tell, right? Because you're trying to adjust and change direction. And the thing is with it is your knee, essentially, if you're if your muscle, your muscles in your femur, your quad or your hamstring aren't strong enough to catch yourself or handle the load, it goes to, the force gets then transmitted to your knees. The over force or the extra force that you're generating goes into your knee. And then obviously you don't have any muscles in your knee. You just have ligaments and those things just pop at that point. So like, for example, with my meniscus injury that I had, so I was looking at it and, you know, you can do surgery, but again, your meniscus is a cushion in your knee and I didn't want to take it out because that's how you fix a meniscus. You just take it out, right? Because it's just loose cartilage in your knee. So the one thing that I did was, and Keza did it, cause I'm glad I called this cause I should have put money on this. But, what I did was, again, I strengthened the,
are we betting on injuries now?
Not injuries, but adjustments of play style. Because I've always said I always like Chiesa more as a 10 than a winger, and people called me nuts for it. And look at this, started the season.
He's been going on about this all season.
I have been, and I'm going to. I've said two things. I said McKennie is a right wing back and Chiesa is a 10. But the one thing that I did, because originally prior to my knee injury, I played as a winger and I didn't really dabble too much in the center of the field because, you know, my game, my play style was 100% pace. I had pace in a decent shot, but I could outrun anybody. However, you know, that also puts you, that kind of essentially shortens your career span, right? Like, and that's why I was happy that Keza made the adjustment, because wingers don't really last that long, right? Because of the stress and all that that goes into their knees, because also they have to be light. And to be light, to have that speed, you're sacrificing quadricep, you're sacrificing hamstring size and strength, because you need to be agile. So like what NFL players do is they do a lot of quadricep, a lot of hamstring work, a lot of calf work, because they're strengthening the muscles around their knee, because those muscles will absorb the force, therefore not putting a lot of stress on their joints. So with recovering and what Chiesa did, and as well as other players do, and I always recommend it personally, again, I'm not a medical professional here, but you always want to ease your way back into it, right? Because when your knee swells, when you have swelling in your knee, all of your muscles shut off. It's your body's natural way of coping, or essentially, you know, recovering, right? So a lot of your muscles in your leg and your quadriceps and your hamstrings shut off. And that's why, like, for example, Chiesa had a very, very slow start last season. And it was expected. I knew it. Even though the doctors can get you back in 3 to 6 months, there's two aspects that you need to recover from. One is your mental aspect, which is the hardest thing, right? Because you'll have
imagine making any move and being afraid of.
You'll have this thing called phantom knee pain. And that's what Chiesa had. And you guys remember that Chiesa went to like a German consultant or a German specialist because he was having some weird knee soreness in his knee that he had to go and confirm. It was right before
his doctor said,
"Run! Go! And get to the chopper!"
That's actually more accurate because it's an Austrian doctor and Arnold is Austrian.
So. Yeah.
Oh, was he Austrian?
Yeah, just a quick correction there, sorry.
It was. That's, and
nailed it.
And what it is like you have this phantom pain, and I had it myself too, where it's like I'm walking and I'm like subconsciously thinking that my knee is killing me or my knee is hurting and or not making movements and stuff like that. So with Chiesa, he experienced that, and I had that feeling, and it's like he needs more time to build that confidence to turn and to do, and he also needs to adjust his play style, right? Because like, for example, the only like an injury that I saw that wasn't because of a play style was Tammy Abraham from Roma. Cause I just saw him. He just planted his knee terribly wrong because he was overextending for a ball, where it's like Chiesa's knee injury happened because of his play style, right? Of how he does it. But the thing is now, and the big difference between, like, for example, Chiesa tearing his ACL and Del Piero tearing his ACL back then, obviously medical science, right? Being able to repair and reattach and redo the ligament, because back in the 70s and 80s, if your ACL was gone, your ACL was gone. Really rare to get it right now. And it's the same thing with Del Piero at the time too, where the surgery and the technique wasn't as refined as it is now, where it's like now there's a doctor, for example, the Achilles doctor for Kobe Bryant, Aaron Rodgers went to him, and this guy does Achilles ruptures. And he does Achilles ruptures. He does it for European footy players as well too, where like there's like this new surgery and stuff and whatnot. And obviously repairing your ACL, they take a ligament from another part of your body. They take a piece of a ligament and kind of enhance it, and then they put it back in to patch your ACL up. That's kind of what an ACL replacement is. So now they're getting to the point where they're doing stem cell research where they're able to essentially take your ligament tissue and then grow a new ACL, and they put it in a sense. So obviously it's not perfect, but now with medical science, and I'm going to honestly give a shout out to Ronaldo, because I think Cristiano Ronaldo reinvigorated or reinvented the way that players can do strength and conditioning now, more so than how it was. Cause like, for example, Ronaldo is the essentially the godfather of strength and conditioning. Like, yeah, Messi is what Messi has done. Like, shout out to Messi for what he's able to do. But I think the one thing that Ronaldo has an edge over Messi that Ronaldo gave to the game of footy is that, look, with proper conditioning, proper nutrition, you can be that guy. You just have to do it, essentially, right? So with that as well, in the modern nation of proper conditioning, proper that, and hopefully Juve get a proper strength and conditioning coach, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, right? that's the thing, you know. It's thank you, by the way, Dash MD. This was a this was a medical minute with Dash. Thank you, buddy. And just to wrap it up, I don't understand how NFL allows artificial turf, because I've played on artificial turf, and my beef has always been, if your foot gives, there's nowhere to go. So like, grass can go and help you out and kind of like tear and, you know, make, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, but
basically it can help you cushion, but playing on artificial fields, and we play footy on artificial fields. It's awful. I hate it.
Grass is better, but like think about Wisconsin in November, December.
Grass is better.
Like, well, here's the thing. We can't use Lambeau Field, right? Because Lambeau Field is probably hands down one of the best like natural grass fields in the entire country.
Goddamn right, baby. Go Pack, go.
It's cringing me as I'm wearing a Jared Goff shirt. But the thing is like,
Look at my shirt.
Yes, your Del Piero shirt.
Mine's more of a joke, but like
mine
with
is
Green
a joke
Bay,
too.
No, I know, but look, I have Michael Jordan and Jared Goff like side by side as a comparison, just like
we can't really see it.
Yeah, you can't see it.
Your camera is on a ceiling.
Nice. I'm trying to, but like, see, I've got like, you know, because Jared Goff beat Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead, so it's one of those things.
Oh my god,
that's
hilarious! I love it.
It's a little bit of a joke because I was one of the few guys that said Jared Goff would pop off for the Lions, and everyone called me an idiot. And I'm like, well, who's stupid now? But
I was in Vegas, and there was a lot of unhappy Chiefs fans and a lot of happy Detroit fans. And Vegas wasn't happy because Vegas lost a lot of money, dude.
Yeah, that's what happens when you put Goff as a dog. Goff is a dog, but not an underdog. But going back to the natural grass, Green Bay. The climate's terrible, but what they do is they have piping underneath it that heat the surface. So
piping under.
Because the thing is like,
I don't even know what that means.
So they have what we call it steam valve pipes, getting a little bit engineering wise here, technical wise. They have tubing underneath the stadium. It's like, for example, what they do with hockey rinks, right? They have chiller pipes that go underneath the surface of the hockey rink, and those regulate the temperature. So like, for example, if you're watching an ice hockey team, I'm saying this just to piss Dave off because someone said ice hockey to Dave one stream, and Dave's like, it's just hockey.
But, yeah, every European does it wrong. If you're talking about the hockey that's played on ice, you don't preface it with ice. You just say hockey because it's the original right version of it. Sorry, go on.
Listen, man, this is America. Okay.
No, it's not. Yep. Americans do it right as well. But
yeah, I don't think I've ever said ice hockey.
No, because it's wrong.
It's incorrect. It's like, for example, saying I can't not do it. Like, it's like a double negative.
Double
in a
negative,
sense.
Yeah.
I can't not so, is it's impossible
yeah, right?
for me not to
it's,
do it.
It's like when you're saying
or,
ice hockey.
I couldn't
like,
care. I could care less.
Yep. So with it, so you have the tubes that run underneath the surface that regulate the temperature. That's why, like, you can go. You go into it. It's a piping, and that's what she said. But you go into an arena, and it's like 60 degrees, but there's ice there. That's how they maintain it. So with Green Bay, it's in the opposite direction. That's why it's like, actually, even if you play in January, it's not bad to play on Lambeau Field because the surface is like 40 to 50 degrees. That's how it is there. And that's why, it's one of the best stadiums to play in regardless.
Speaking of stadiums, sorry, Dash. Have you seen the way the new Bernabeu, the way they stack the field, the pitch? Oh my God. Oh, yeah. If you guys get a chance, go to YouTube or whatever and see what an engineering marvel the new Bernabeu is. It's just amazing. And I have a feeling they're also preparing to play NFL games there.
Yeah, they are. That's why they did it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So the Bernabeu was based off of Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. So the Raiders Stadium, which is
beautiful. I just saw it.
It's incredible. So what they do is the pitch rolls out of the stadium. So, for example, when they're not playing games, they roll the pitch out and they let natural sunlight go in because Allegiant Stadium is technically a dome. So what they do, and this is what they do at Tottenham Stadium as well as Real Madrid Stadium, is they wheel out the stadium. They wheel out the pitch outside so it gets sunlight. So they actually replenish and grow the grass again. And that's why Allegiant Stadium is probably going to host a shit ton of World Cup game matches as well, because, again, it's a natural grass turf, but it's it grows more. It just replenishes. It's a lot better than the one in Arizona. And that's where you see it with the Bernabeu and also Tottenham. And I believe they're thinking about doing something with Munich, with Bayern Munich Stadium, because they're going to be hosting NFL games there as well. And that's the one thing that I've always said this, and everyone kind of gets mad at me because I like playing on turf, but I don't wear cleats when I play on turf. I just wear shoes. Like, I wear regular shoes on there. So I don't
get
just
stuck. Black classic shoes. Imagine with black socks.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I have Adidas Predators, like with the little not like cleat grips, but like thin grips on it.
Before I leave you guys, cause I have to go take care of something and podcast will go on. The Predator, I feel like it's such an iconic shoe. I've been talking to Dan, and you know those old Zidane / Del Piero. Speaking of Zidane, if you're watching, this is one of my prized possessions. Fun fact: Zidane jersey, Del Piero signature, and he laughed at it as well. the Predators. I feel like I would want to release a shirt with that design, and I feel like it's gonna be very popular.
Yeah, I think the Predators. Those
shoes are incredible. They don't make them anymore, right?
No, they do. They still do. They have the Predators. So like I got some.
What do you think about the laceless shoes? The one that just the slip on.
I don't like them. I don't like them. They feel too weird. I'm a boomer in that regard.
Yeah, you're old. You wouldn't. They're not for you. They're for people 20 years younger than you.
Yeah, and the thing is like I don't really like the direction where the cleats are going right now, right? Because it's all synthetic leather. It's all like hyper tight and. In what I like about Predators, the Predators are wide. They give you nice feel. Like you feel like you're commanding the ball. Like when I was wearing Mercurials, like the Nike Mercurials, when I was playing as a winger, because they're super light, they're agile and whatnot. But like your ball control was terrible with them. Like it was bare downs. Like it was like a strip.
And I told someone on a previous podcast. Again, I apologize. I don't want the thin layer of a shoe. It feels terrible when someone steps on you. When I see a player get stepped on, people make fun of the footy players, but knee to knee clashes and someone stepping on your foot is the worst. I mean, knee to knee, there's nothing you can do about that pain. You just lay there and maybe like a little magic spray. But if you're playing just like in your neighborhood and you clash knees, I've had that happen. And it was just, speaking of phantom pain, if I think about it, I cringe.
Dude.
The two knees clashing is awful.
Imagine the pros, right? Because the pros actually use metal studded cleats. So could you imagine, like, for example, getting stepped on? Like, I remember there was someone from Arsenal a few years ago that took like a full blown step, and like he had this huge gash. It was Ozil. He had this huge gash on his foot after the match. Like, dude, yeah, it is absolutely no joke when it comes to cleats, like being stepped on is like the worst thing ever. Like, especially like if I'm dribbling through a defender and like he completely misses the ball and just rakes my ankle with his cleats, his studs, it is terrible. And those are just the plastics. Could you imagine being a pro with like the metal studs? Just nuts.
Well, do you have to go?
I do have to go sprinkle in some Juve news. I literally went through the website. There's not much to talk about. Maybe talk about the upcoming Sassuolo game. And speaking of stepping on things, I saw, and I think it was a big tournament, either Euro or World Cup. Somebody the player fell and somebody stepped on his hand. That's one of the worst memories. And I've seen a player take a full whole shot like 2 feet away from his nutsack and just full strength shot, and he was on the ground for 10-15 minutes. Man, oh, speaking of injuries,
I remember
before I go, what's the worst injury you remember to a player?
There was one last season where Buddy basically got stepped on his knee. I can't remember who that was now, though.
I see. I could tell you, like, for example, right now, the worst that I've seen out of any sport was the Nick Chubb injury that happened Monday.
I was just going to bring that up.
Oh my God. His leg was gone.
His leg was twisted the other way. Like, it looked like a reverse knee.
You know what? I think the other worst one was when I saw Dak Prescott's leg get snapped in half, where his leg literally just goes.
It's always when the leg goes. I'm thinking too. Yeah. That one is just the end. That happened to
Zlatan too, right? He got a hyper. What is that? Hyper.
Yeah, his was. He jumped and he landed, and his knee went in. Like Zlatan's knee went like that. Like, so, like, for example, he was straight and he like landed straight, and then like it just went in like that.
Damn. Yeah, I remember somebody stepped on his head, and there's a reel going around Zlatan getting revenge when he literally, this dude stepped on. Why would you do that to Zlatan? You know, I'm no fan, but it's terrifying. I play with some bigger dudes, and like, you never know when a blow or like a push can come from. Imagine doing that to Zlatan. You know, for the next 80 minutes, you're a target.
Yeah, it's the one, especially I hate it when it's in a pickup game where I see like guys doing slide tackles and stuff like that. Cause it's like, so I'll be hosting some games and I'll literally, like, before I pull everyone in, before we start, I'm like, look, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. None of you guys have insurance to cover full blown injuries here. So I'm gonna save myself the trouble of having to do, cause like, there's an app and I work with the app to schedule matches. I'm like, I don't want to fill out ambulance reports, claims, insurance claims, or anything like that. So if I see any kind of vicious tackles, I'm just kicking you out of the facility. I'm like, I'm not even going to, I'm like, I don't even need you to explain it. I said, you're done.
I played with a team, like just a pickup game. And there was a guy, he was like former USSR. So I heard them talking. His goal was to start a fight, and he did. And it's like, why do you come? And the guy didn't even do anything, but then the guy wasn't a pussy, so he was just, you know, squared up. And it's like, why? What's the point? We're here to forget the troubles, play for an hour and a half, enjoy ourselves. He was just, you know, pushing people around, ready for a fight. If you're that guy, don't be that guy.
It's always those people that play the Sunday league folks. Cause it's like, it happens to me here too, where it's like, I'll go to, cause I like to travel to different areas to play pickup with different groups of people. Cause you learn different styles of play, and I'll look at it and it's like, it's always these guys that have some kind of chip on their shoulder, like something to prove or something like that.
It's like a legal way to pick a fight. Semi-legal way.
And like, I always find it ironic because they're the shittiest technical player on the field, but they're like, oh, why aren't you pressing this and blah, blah, blah. Gee, I don't know.
Yeah, they're always the one that complains. Yeah.
They're the ones that are complaining about stuff. And then like, I remember this one time, there was this guy that was talking smack. Like, he was playing pickup. He was on my team and he was talking smack to my buddy. So this guy was garbage, like couldn't touch a ball, couldn't shoot a ball or anything. So my friend was calling him out saying he was trash. And I pulled my buddy to the side. I'm like, hey, come here for a minute. And he's like, what? I said, I am going to make this guy look so bleeping stupid that he is going to take himself off the field. He's like, what are you going to do? So guys, I kid you not, I would dribble through 4 or 5 players, do a bunch of moves, and then I would look to see where he is. And I would give him the simplest ball, whiffed it every single time. I would just look at him and I wouldn't say anything. It got to the point, guys, where I made him look so stupid. And this was my own teammate, made him look so stupid. He hung his head low, walked off, and we never saw him again.
Sweet. Was
like,
it
that's
him?
How you handle those people.
Was it Bernardeschi? Have you guys seen the latest picture of Bernardeschi with the makeup
like
on?
Plastic surgery.
Dave,
what do they do in Canada? They just give you plastic surgery in Toronto?
Yeah, Toronto, I mean, I'll just say it's a very liberal city. And, you know, you do what you want over there.
I heard that's where the new C-Vid variant's coming from, too.
Yeah, sure. Blame Toronto. We had SARS back in the day as well. They're all infected.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like making news around here in Michigan about it. And I'm like, and you know, because I remember you said it too. You're like, that's the most dangerous thing that's come from us since Justin Bieber. And I just died laughing.
Boys, should we wrap it up? Because I'm running the podcast.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah, we have the
control. We're all hosts. Yeah, we're all hosts.
Do I just leave?
Yeah, you just hit leave studio when you got to go.
All right, boys and girls, it was such a pleasure, but
daddy issues.
Whoa! guys listening, tell your kids to cover your ears. Daddy is leaving.
Daddy duties are calling. It was so cool to holler at you guys for, you know, twice in 1 week, and we'll be back for maybe a pregame or a postgame after Sassuolo, but we'll be back on Monday, Tuesday. I love you guys. Dash, Dave, you guys are rock. So I'm just leaving the studio, right?
Yep. Yeah. Just hit the big red button.
Cool. TurinGiants.com, as always. Stickers are $5. The easiest way to support this podcast is purchase a sticker. And they're awesome. You can see them on the screen here, by the way. Look at my laptop here.
Hey, Habibi, you went full immigrant on me because that's the same thing with Albanians. Yeah, we'll see you later. Oh, but by the way, go ahead and take a look at this and do this.
Well, I have to promote. I suck at promoting, so I have to let people know TurinGiants.com exists. I'm out. Peace, dudes.
Take care.
Stay hydrated.
Oh man, why does he say that? It's funny.
You gotta have a little bit of fun, right? But I think we can just wrap it up with Sassuolo a little bit, right? Just kind of
yes, and a bit of our EAFC stuff that we have to talk about.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
We'll talk a bit about Sassuolo. We are doing a pregame on the YouTube as well Friday. We always do it the Friday or Saturday before the match, but it's Saturday match, so it will be Friday. But yeah, let's talk about it. They're
not doing too hot.
Yeah, not really.
So Dionisi looks like he's kind of struggled to find stride with Sassuolo. I believe they are, and I'm looking at my phone right now, so people that are watching, just bear with me here. Yeah, so they are 1 point above the relegation zone. So they played against Juventus B on the weekend and lost 4-2. So they were up 2-0, and it's a little bit of a joke that Dave and I have with, hopefully I pronounce this right, Frosinone.
Frosinone, Jesus, it's not hard. Frosinone.
Why do I keep forgetting the N? I always forget the N in the middle, but we call them Juventus B because they have three of our starlets. They have Barnechea, they have Sule, and they have Caio George, or as Lucas likes to call him, Caio George. They were up 2-0 against
pronounces. Them. He's like the only person around the Turin Giants that pronounce his names worse than you. And I think you just leverage that.
I do. I like being petty. I am a very petty SOB. However, kind of going back into it, Sassuolo have struggled significantly. Defensively, they're not doing very well. I really think that this is like a Juve versus Empoli match, right? Where you come in, create some chances, get a 2-3 goal advantage by halftime, and then just coast. That's my opinion. Again, obviously, things are further from the truth. In my opinion, we should go there and really run right on them. I would be surprised not to. However, you know, Bologna, but some other crazy things. But I mean, are we past the point of saying that, you know, we're a negative football team, Dave? I mean, we've won 3 of 4, and we should have won 4, barring some stupid officiating.
Questionable officiating for sure. I haven't really heard it much lately, so I'm done for the time being. Like currently, I think we've been playing fairly positive. So
the thing is like it's a bunch of contributors, right? It's not just one guy doing all the work. Like
yes, which we have mentioned and is one of the things that I love about what the team's doing.
Yeah, like you have contributors from McKennie, you have contributors from Cambiasso, Weya, Chiesa, Dusan, Meretti as well, and. Mm-hmm. He must be protected at all costs from all the haters. Federico Gatti with some forward runs. I mean, even Danilo, right, with some scrappy goals in the box. So it's a team-centered approach, which I love because that means it's hard for teams to scheme against us tactically because they don't know who to shut down, right? Versus if I have one guy that's the dominant force, that means let's put everything on this guy and we'll go from there. And, you know, I think the team's gelling. I think, you know, credits, and I am a big Doosan hater, and I still will be until the season ends. But again, I have to give credit to where it's due. Two goals with his weak foot against Lazio. So, you know, shout out to him, because that was my biggest criticism of him, is 85 million and you can only use one foot. However, because we call balls and strikes here. We don't just come out here with some stupid propaganda. However, he did well, right? So I'm hoping he continues, because look, Doosan does well, Juve does well. So, and Dash looks stupid, which is a win for everybody. I want to see more. I think the only player that I need a lot, or has a lot left to be desired from, is Kostic. For example, McKennie, right? McKennie stepped in. He's done what he needs to do after starting off terribly. Locatelli as well. I'm hoping Locatelli can use that Lazio game to find some consistency in himself to do what he's doing, right? Because he's
coming off good national campaign as well. I think that's helped.
Yep. And there's two players, right? So it's Fagioli and Kostic. I think those two need to find their stride a little bit more. I'm not worried as much for Fagioli than I am for Kostic, just because Fagioli has shown it. I think he just needs to get some minutes in his legs, where it's like, for Kostic, even the game against Lazio, yeah, he made some dummy runs that opened up Chiesa, but at the same time, we essentially threw our entire offensive scheme on the right side through McKennie. So I kind of want us to have a dynamic left and right, you know, a guy can dream. However, you know, squad rotation and the other baloney that goes with it. But, you know, we'll break down the tactics on the YouTube video, because we'll throw the tactical board up tomorrow. But I would be shocked if Juve don't run away with this one 3-4-0 against Sassuolo.
3-4-0, eh? Okay.
Yeah. They're terrible defensively. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're not. I guess I just still have this caution, knowing that at one point we're going to falter and fall.
Stupid.
Yeah. You know,
pull a terrible Bremer pass like we did against Lazio.
I'm trying to be realistic, but I have been excited at the same time with everything that we've seen. So,
yeah.
Maybe 3-0. We're away from home. So that's something to really pay attention to. That may not matter, because our ultras, our supporting traveling fans, have been great on the road as well this year, as I saw in Empoli, right? So
yep.
I'll go with a 2-0. Let's go 2-0. Let's not 2-0. Get carried away.
Yeah, and the other thing for optimism as well is, so, you know, we were all kind of a little bit like, oh shoot, with Inter's hot start, and I think Real Sociedad might have given Serie A the cheat code on how to slow Inter down with how they played, which we'll cover that Monday. We'll save that for Monday. We'll do like a Champions League recap when we do our match week next down on Monday too. So yeah, again, listeners, I don't know how familiar some of you listeners, because I know some of you are diehard podcast folks, but you know, dabble in the YouTube. We talk more than just, you know, direct Juve stuff. We try to envelop the other clubs as well. However, you know, we're gonna have a busy week, right? Sassuolo, Lecce. Oh, and then I think it's the Turin Derby. I'm not too sure, but we're gonna have a pretty good busy week per se. But hey, look, just keep winning. I'm sure Inter's gonna drop something. I know Real Sociedad shook their confidence, so anything can happen.
Well, listen, it's already been busy, and we'll use this as a bit of our segue because you released, you had pre-recorded. Sorry, talk with all things Alvalade, as well as the Lions Den Galatasaray and a Sporting 160 podcast, or they used to be called
Sporting 160. I knew it. I didn't Sporting, it was
yeah,
me this
yeah,
time.
It's not just you. So Sporting CP. So we had some Turkish league as well as Portuguese league guys in there, our friends that we talked to last season. So they joined Dash for a bit of a European breakdown. So that was released maybe a bit late.
It's fine. I fumbled it. For some reason, I thought the Champions League started on Wednesday, and then I had a brain fart, and I texted Dave. I'm like, no. Dude, I had a brain fart.
You messed
totally
up.
Fucked up. I totally
it's
messed
fine.
Up.
It's out there. Watch that. That's a great one. Not to mention, we already did the European segment on Monday. So we had Monday, Tuesday. Kevin got his interview from Lazio out. We put that out yesterday. And then after this, I'm uploading what me and Frankie did, one of our listeners, we are doing our EAFC 24 Juve card reactions. And now I will use this to segue
to the into important our stuff. Pro.
The important stuff, EAFC, this is the new FIFA video game. We are doing a pro teams. We dabbled with it last season towards the end. We got some traction. Cross-platform is now made available. So we're playing on the next gen. So just so people aren't confused, if you have a Switch, an Xbox One X or S, or PS4, that's old gen, they can play together. And new gen is PS5, Xbox Series X or S, and PC. So we're setting up on the new gen stuff. Frankie is our captain. So if you want to see who our captain is, check out the video that's releasing on Thursday. By the time it's probably out by the time you're listening to this, right? So that's happening. Fridays are pre-game. Saturday is the game. So in preparation, we are launching Friday night. We are going to do a stream of EAFC. So that's two things Friday, guys. You have the pregame, and if you want to nerd it out with us, if you want to join the team, that barcode, if you're watching, has been in the top corner the whole episode. Scan that, or if you're on YouTube, you can go down in the description. That is the code to get into our Discord, where we launch everything. We have the Pro Teams channel, and we have the chat. So we're all live, chatting together, playing like it's almost a real match. And yeah, we're going to kick off a league, and we're starting this. So if you're a huge FIFA fan now, EAFC, if you want to join and be part of this community, and this is community driven, this is the important thing, right? That Frankie, he's one of our community members. He's not one of like the regular staff of Turin Giants, but community's involved. That video that we did, me and Frankie, was actually suggested by Hamza KF Squad there on YouTube. Again, that community commitment and involvement with the Turin Giants, that's what we really love. So please do come and join our community, because we do have so much fun, and I'm not just saying that so you'd be my friend. It's yes, honestly, like it's it's honestly just a good, great group
one
of people
of us. Yeah, one of us. One of us. Yeah, we're trying to start a cult, guys, and the next thing later, we're going to start wearing so just some random shirts. It was just some weird stuff.
Yeah. So sorry, I rambled. I pulled a dash there. I talked for 5 minutes without taking a breath. It's okay. But yeah, I think that's it. I think we'll just see you on some of the lives. And I'm happy that the podcast is rolling. I know there's new names, faces each week as people are available, but I'm happy. Season 10, dash. Shut me up and take it away.
Alrighty, I guess we'll sign this off, guys. All right, guys, thanks for watching podcast episode 225. I already thought of the episode title. It's called Weak in the Knees, because we talked about knees. Ooh. But anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in. You guys got a special feature, double podcast in 1 week. I uploaded the video of 224 on the Spotify. So if you want to watch the Zaki boy and Farad in the flesh, you can watch that there on the Spotify. This one will also be on Spotify as well. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, the whole shebang. Gosh, I sound like a professional podcaster saying that. But anyways, folks, thanks for tuning in. And we will see, well, not us, we'll see on YouTube, but you might see the podcast crew next Monday or Tuesday, because they are trying to balance between Lecce. But the good news is, I should probably make it, I don't know if he made the announcement earlier, but podcasts will be filmed and released on Tuesdays. They've found a way to get everyone. So you guys will get consistent podcast episodes on Tuesday. So
love it.
You guys will get to see them weekly. So on that note, guys, stay hydrated. Check in on your friends, and Forza Juve.
Forza Juve. Contasini per me, per Pirlo, la conclusione è rete! Andrea Pirlo, un gol pazzesco! Del Piero, Del Piero! Pogba fa esplodere!